Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property management trends we should let die in 2022. I have joining me by phone a journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Jessica Fiore, the editor-in-chief of Multi-Housing News, and longtime multifamily industry veteran Barry Tomlin, the vice president of Breeden Property Management. Welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Glad to be here.
So, Jessica, I'm going to start asking you the first question, since you wrote a piece for Multi-Housing News about multifamily property management trends that we should let die. What drove you to write a piece about that?
Thanks, Paul, and thank you for having me. So multifamily, I think, is known and really known for being really slow to change things. They'll just see what works and then wait a little bit and see if all the other properties do it and then maybe dip their toe in. And it goes the other way, too. So if something works, it's great, but they'll keep going and going and maybe, you know, things aren't working anymore, but they're so slow that they just don't change. So I'm thinking we really need to dive deep. It's a new year, new us, and we could find what is not working anymore for our residents and for our employees and just, you know, making sure we're doing the best for everyone.
And Barry, I want to ask you, being on the management side, were there trends that and different techniques from property management that were put in place due to the disruption of the pandemic that now maybe we need to take a look at to see if we need to continue those?
Oh, absolutely. Quite a few things. I'm sure Jessica can validate this and, you know, all of her experience, but, you know, right off the top of the list is, of course, how we are marketing our properties and, you know, showing prospects the properties. It was always come in, let's sit down at the table, we'll talk for half an hour, and then we'll, you know, get on a golf cart and we'll ride around and we'll go to several units and such as that. And that still happens, but it's certainly a different way of happening, you know, with social distancing and masking and all that. But we have transitioned, that our company, I think most have, into more of the digital world where we're doing the virtual tours. And as bad as it sounds, it's really turned out to be very good, I think, for both prospects and for our property managers and leasing agents. To have that capability, because so many millennials now are renting, and, you know, they are able to move out of the mom and dad's home and, you know, get into their own apartment, and that's all they do. They want to be on their phones and their, you know, gadgets, and they don't want to go sit down and talk to somebody face-to-face for 30 minutes that much anymore and shuffle papers. So that has probably been the biggest thing that I've noticed, is that, you know, we've just kind of had to change our way of doing business from the get-go, and that's you know, digitally, and technology is driving that, and I don't see that changing.
I do hope we could keep the golf carts, though, because that sounds really, really fun. I personally never rented at a property that was big enough for that, so now I'm in a house now, and I'm like, damn, I missed out on the golf cart, so please, please keep that.
Yeah, most people do like the golf cart, that is for sure.
So let me ask you this, Jessica, and then Barry, I'd be interested in your thoughts as well. You had mentioned that the multifamily industry is known for being slow to change, which I've heard all my career. But the pandemic and what we had to go through as an industry to because we were essential workers and we had to keep properties open and service properties. Those technologies that Barry was talking about, it seems like those were adopted on a much quicker pace because of that need, other than if we didn't have the pandemic. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think it really did force our hand. And first of all, a round of applause for all the hardworking multifamily people,
sure,
the essential workers, because really, like, it's work for them, but for the people in apartments, it's their homes. You know, they need things, and I think, you know, they don't get enough recognition. But I hate saying a benefit of the pandemic, because obviously it's horrible, but it really did force the industry to go toward trends that were maybe coming, but again, you know, at a molasses rate, and really force people to do virtual tours and virtual events. Although that is something I do hope will die on that topic, is all virtual events. I think we all have Zoom fatigue. I don't know why, but somehow just like talking to the Brady Bunch, like every picture, it's very draining. And I think residents are seeing that too. And I just, you know, who knows with Omicron, but I think that is something that we're going to have to let go, is all virtual events. I think to increase engagement, increase word of mouth about communities, when possible, property managers should try to include some in-person events again.
Barry, what are your thoughts?
I totally agree with that, and I will say that Jessica is exactly right in her opening comments about kind of this industry tends to be lagging, or it takes a while to turn the ship, so to speak, in the multifamily industry with things and adopting new ideas and such. But I think the pandemic certainly proved to us all that if we have to, we can certainly turn it very quickly. And I think that's you know, something we're going to see and look at differently going forward, and not be so slow to adapt changes as we have as an industry in the past. And I'm definitely with Jessica on let's getting back to, you know, the in-person events. You know, obviously we're going to do it very slowly because health and safety are most important for our residents and our employees. But you know, some of the things that we are doing, one of our resident managers came up with a really cool idea just last month that I thought really, while it was still, you know, still weren't able to get together, you know, so to speak, but we actually were able to purchase some books and wrap them in paper, just plain paper, and we invited residents to come to the office, and we had them set up outside, and they could take their own, you know, just kind of pick and choose which one they wanted based on the color of the wrapping, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
I thought you weren't supposed to
so
judge a book by its cover.
We called it the blind date with a book. So, you know, those that are still reading books and were interested in that, it kind of engaged them and gave them a little bit of, you know, something to hold that was tangible instead of Jeff's point, just looking at somebody's face on a Zoom call. So
yeah,
that's
trying to think
so
outside
cool.
of the box.
And, that's yeah, so cool, and I must really say, from nice. Years of dating, a blind date with a book sounds so much more appealing than a regular blind date. That is really neat. I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, I thought it was really a great idea.
How did the residents enjoy it?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. I think we actually ran out of books in the first 30 minutes, so we're going to have to do it again and have a better selection, I guess.
Yeah, and,
so cool.
And that wasn't an expensive program.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, and Jessica, I just want to ask you, your piece, which about the trends that we need to let die in 2022, on our website at multifamilyradio.com, there'll be a link to the piece, so anybody who's interested in reading it can find it there. But tell us, what's the first trend that you think we should let die?
So I think the most important trend to let die is the not getting back to residents right away. So I think generally, or prospective residents, I mean. So generally, I think the rule was like 48 hours, you could get back. No, like, I know if I don't hear something right away, you know, if my DoorDash or whatever doesn't cut the old 30 minutes or less for the pizza, like, people are moving on. There are so many really great apartments, unfortunately, probably right near yours, that obviously not as good, but, you know, similar rates. And if they don't hear back from you, they're just going to leave. So I think 48 hours dead. I think get back as soon as you can.
And we've got about 2 minutes left. Barry, tell us a little bit about what you guys do as far as responding.
Yeah, our standard has been to at least have that first touch point after the initial visit within 24 hours, as kind of in our company policy. But we've also been looking at that as well. And, you know, to Jessica's point, if someone's really looking and they haven't made their mind up, they're within, you know, a mile, several other properties of most properties that they're going to be hitting and visiting, and it's going to be the experience. And if we can grab their attention before they get to that next property or the second property and they've got us top of mind, our hope is that they will come back and say, you know, they were really on top of it. So we're really shooting to have within a 15 or 30-minute timeline between the time they walk out the door and the time we touch base with them at some capacity, whether it's a text or an email of that nature.
We're all goldfish now. You gotta get it right away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, people want instant gratification in everything, and certainly wasn't that way years ago. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to break it right here. We're going to be back after this short break with more of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property management trends we should let die in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Jessica Feuer, the editor-in-chief of Multi-Housing News, and longtime multifamily industry veteran Barry Tomlin, the vice president of Breed and Property Management. I do want to remind our guests, just if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, one of the things in your piece, Jessica, that you had mentioned was regarding some community policies, things that we should let die in 2022. Talk a little about one of the things I know you mentioned was dog breeds. Talk about that.
Sure. So, this is strange for me because for years and years and years, I was terrified of dogs. And if you look back at my archive, I wrote all these pieces saying, like, don't have a pet policy because people don't like them. But, you know, I've come around with my pandemic puppy, and now I am a crazy dog person. So a lot of apartment companies have pet policies with restrictions for certain breeds, you know, no pit bulls or Dobermans. That could actually be leaving a lot of money on the table, because now I know as a crazy dog person, people won't move there without their dog. You know, of course, safety is always important, and we want to make sure all the residents feel safe, and that's, of course, the most important thing. But, you know, I think it's time to start maybe rethinking some of these. And actually, at some public housing facilities, there's a bill going to Congress that will eliminate that. So so in certain public housing, if it passes, you know, all breeds will be able to go there. And it's something that I think, you know, Class A, Class B, you know, all buildings should think about too.
And Barry, what have you seen kind of as the flight path of pet restrictions over your career? You know, where did it start? Where are we today?
Yeah, I think we certainly have within our company, when I started here, you know, 15 years ago, I think the list of restricted dog breeds was probably, you know, 10 or 12 or so. And we have certainly evaluated that over the years, and I think we're down to 6 now, just based on the characteristics that, you know, you hear about. You talk to industry experts, veterinarians, and that sort of thing, and try to get guidance. But I'm with Jessica on that. I think that we have certainly seen during the pandemic, for sure, here in our area, you know, everyone needed a pet. If you didn't have a roommate or a husband or a wife or children, you know, people were very lonely, and they tended to gravitate to a pet of some sort. And some of the things that we're doing, especially on our new construction properties, we're doing pet-free and pet-only or pet-free buildings where those people that maybe not interested in having pets and don't want to be around pets, as Jessica pointed out in her former life, now she's a dog lover, it sounds like, they don't have to be in the same buildings, but those that want pets certainly do and can. And we allow up to 3 dogs or 3 pets per unit, and we're seeing a lot of people that are having more than 1 or 2. I have to admit myself, I've got 3 at my own home. So I think being a little more flexible, we certainly have come a long way, at least here at the breeding company over the years. So I think it's definitely changing, and the environment is definitely changing, and people are becoming more acceptable of the dog breeds that, you know, were once, you know, faux pas, I guess you'd say.
And Jessica, let me ask you this question, because you introduced this idea by saying that leaving money on the table. How so?
So a lot of companies have, you know, an extra fee for pets. Like, if, you know, so if you're not allowing them, first of all, that person's not going to rent there. So that money, their rent, you make more money by having someone in the building than, you know, an empty unit. So right there. But also, you know, the fee for the pets, and I think you're really restricting yourself. Plus, right now, like, I feel like every dog breed is like part pit bull, it seems like. So, you know, where does it end? Is it, you know, only purebreds are banned, or, you know, and then people are going to be sneaking it in? It's a lot of work for you. So I think, you know, just being upfront and letting people have their dogs and registering them and paying, and then at least you know what's going on in the property too. So I think that's helpful.
You know, a lot of the constraints come from the insurance companies as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there are policies or insurance companies, and some of ours have been that way as well, that, you know, part of our plan or policy is that we're not allowed to have certain brands of breeds. So mm-hmm. it's sometimes it's a little bit out of our control.
Sure.
It may be across the board.
And Barry, I wanted to ask you about Jessica's comment about leaving money on the table. When you look at you know, financials for how much are those deposits and those pet fees? Is that something that is generally lucrative on the management side?
Oh, it sure is. You know, for us here at the breeding company, we charge a upfront non-refundable pet fee of $300 initially, and then an additional $35 a month for the first pet, $15 for the second pet, and $10 for the third pet. And we keep a pretty tight rein on how many of our residents have pets.
Or a tight leash, as it were.
Tight leash, there you go. That's right, Jessica. So it is very lucrative for us financially. And, you know, like I said, we have typically run about 65% in our analysis of our residents have a pet or more. So it's, you know, if you do the math over, you know, 10, 15,000 units, it's quite a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. All right. One of the other things that you mentioned in your article, Jessica, was package specific hours for package pickup, and we've got about 4 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, sure. I think, I mean, that is super old-fashioned. We, you know, we all heard that at the beginning of the pandemic, it was like Christmas every day with the number of packages coming in. Add that, add all the, you know, the HelloFresh or Blue, you know, all the meal services, you know, and people want their packages when they arrive. You know, some people, a lot of people might still be working from home or even working in the office. They can't make it to the, you know, the front during office hours or your leasing office hours. It, you can't do that anymore. You have to be able to have either alternate hours or 24 hours for residents to get their packages. I think they're going to start demanding that.
And Barry, I wanted to ask you, seems like, if my memory is correct, that in 2014, Camden Property Trust was really the one who first started not accepting packages at the office, and of course it made national news when they put that policy in place. It seems like the whole industry has gone that direction in some form or fashion. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and how that's changed through the years.
No, that's exactly right, and that was something that, you know, in the 2016, 2017 for us here, we started to see that it was really becoming unmanageable for our office staff. Number one, we just didn't have the space to manage the packages that were starting to come in as we all transitioned over to ordering online and so on and so forth. So what we have adopted in a lot of our properties that have, you know, not recently been built, is we've retrofitted rooms or any spaces we could find with package locker systems so that the residents do have 24/7 access to packages. It gets them out of our leasing office, which we're piling up and taking up space, and we're dependent on our staff to deliver or be available. And, you know, the resident came home and we were already closed for the day. We're putting locker stations in all of our new construction projects, properties. And I think it is something that's just going to be, you know, common space. I don't think it's just like any other amenity that anyone would expect to have a pool or fitness center. You need packages available.
And Jessica, what did you find when talking to folks around the country about it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone just expects it now. You know, say we talked about instant gratification before, same thing. You know, if they don't get it right away, you know, they're not going to rent there. You know, I think it's going to be a requirement.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it here and be back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that's important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property management trends we should let die in 2022. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a journalist who covers daily the multifamily industry, Jessica Feuer, who's the editor-in-chief of Multi-Housing News, and longtime multifamily industry veteran Barry Tomlin, the vice president of Breeden Property Management. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Jessica, in your article, which again, for our listeners, will be posted on our website at multifamilyradio.com on this episode page, on your article about property management trends we should let die in 2022, you talked about employee changes. Let's talk about allowing employees to be more casual.
Yeah, so first, dress code, I think, I mean, does anyone really feel confident or look good, let's be honest, in khakis and a polo shirt? Especially the females. Just, I think people work better, are more confident, enjoy their job more when they're given a little more free range. And actually, in an article on Multifamily Insiders, I saw something about one company, Acara Partners, that let their employees wear a band T-shirt and a blazer as their uniform. So the employees, get to pick their favorite band. They get to wear a blazer. I think that is super, super cool. I think, obviously we can't let employees, especially resident-facing employees, wear anything with anything offensive on it or, inappropriate. But does wearing jeans really turn renters off as opposed to khakis? I don't think so. So I think we just, forcing a very corporate uniform, I think, is going away.
Barry, what are your thoughts?
It's a touchy subject. It really is. But I do agree with Jessica. I think that, the corporate uniform, if you will, one size fits all, is definitely something of the past. We've been in business, Mr. Breeden's been in business 60 years as of 2021. We're a very traditional company. And we want our folks to be professional, but we also want them to feel comfortable. We don't want them to feel stuffy and, like they can't move or they're just not representing who they are. But we do want them to remain professional in what they wear. So we do have some guidelines in place. It's definitely much less stricter now than it has been over the years. We do give them flexibility. But as long as they're professional business attire, then that's kind of what we're looking for. We started talking about this, not specifically this is what clothing wear, but about 3 years ago when we started seeing, as we were doing interviews, especially for our leasing staff, you get the tattoos and the piercings and things of that nature that more of the younger generation are drawn to and have. And we, as part of our policy, we weren't allowing anyone to have a tattoo or a visible piercing other than an ear piercing. And we're evaluating that because in a lot of the workforce now, tattoo is considered artwork. And for a lot of people, it is an expression of themselves. And as long as it's tasteful and, it's not offensive to anyone, it is something we're reconsidering allowing.
And Jessica, do you think that's a generational type of thing?
Generational, but I think it's also, I think the generations are becoming more accepting toward it. I think maybe the older generations won't necessarily get like a neck tattoo. I mean, no judgments. It's not my thing, but, whatever. But I think if they saw it, they wouldn't clutch their pearls as people say. I think, and as Barry mentioned, if you're a more conservative company, of course, you have to do what your company values. You have to think about the area you're in, the type of community, and of course, never anything offensive or, unprofessional. But I think, I think it's just becoming mainstream now, whether people have tattoos or want them or not. I mean, I personally don't have them, but I don't necessarily care if other people do. And I think that that's, becoming more mainstream.
Barry, I would imagine that when you are telling your employees or having your employees wear uniforms, that in some ways, it's people have thought it would be important to corporate branding. You believe that that's something that people are getting away from now is branding in other ways, but maybe allowing employees to be more of themselves and feel comfortable in what they wear.
Well, I definitely think it's something that is changing in the industry. Years ago when I was young and renting apartments, or you go to an apartment community and everyone's in skirt and there's a lady in a suit and tie if it's a gentleman. And I think we definitely are getting away from that, although I know we are very big on branding, our products and how we do our business and how we conduct ourselves. And we look at all of our employees as, representative of Mr. Breeden. And he's a very traditional, wears a suit every day. But he's seen the younger generation come up, and he is actually, embracing the change and letting people be a little bit more themselves and not have to wear a three-piece suit every day, but still remain professional. So it's definitely changing. And as I said earlier, we started talking about this about 3 years ago as we were seeing the millennials starting to come in, even to interviews with khakis and a polo shirt on, which was something we had never experienced before. But that didn't mean they wouldn't be a good employee. And they would do just as well in a khakis and a polo as they would in a three-piece suit. So we're, to Jessica pointed out initially in the conversation, as an industry, we are evolving and we're changing. It's just been a slow pace.
And Jessica, I know that you've done some writing about Gen Z and the Gen Z generation that's coming up. I believe they're 24 or 25 years old, the oldest right now. Is that correct?
Yes, it makes me feel really old. Millennial.
So
they're coming up. I think, as Barry mentioned, it's just the culture shifting. And he mentioned millennials coming in polos and khakis. I'm sure Gen Z is coming in. I don't even know. I don't go outside anymore. But, they're maybe wearing jeans and, a button-down shirt or something even less. So, but as Barry, as you also mentioned, people seem to be okay with it. And one big thing to think about, too, is that people want to feel comfortable in their jobs, and it's a little different for multifamily because, of course, we're resident-facing, and you want to be professional. But people also want to feel good in their jobs, and if they feel more confident, if they feel more comfortable, if they feel more represented, they're going to stay longer, which I think is very important to think about now with the Great Resignation, and any change we could make to make the job more appealing, to make people feel comfortable and confident in their jobs and being able to thrive, I think is very important right now.
Barry, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I just want to ask you a question, get your thoughts somewhat quickly on this. And that is, we're talking about Gen Z, and we did an episode with Jessica and one of her colleagues about how to attract the Gen Z renter. But what about the Gen Z employee? What do you see as the differences with these 24-year-olds and younger that are coming up now? What is it that you do have to do to attract them as an employee?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's something we're still trying to figure out, to be honest. Everybody has a different approach on that. I think one of the things that's with our company is, embracing technology and how we are implementing that as a company, not only for our residents, but for our employees. Obviously, the leasing teams, they are customer facing and still have to be available. Not going to always be able to work from home, but we offer flexible work schedules, and we've had to do that in the past 2 years for employees. And some of our employees are able to work remotely now, especially with the virtual tour and such. So we're trying to adapt ways that will appeal to the younger generation and not wanting to just sit in an office all day behind a computer and not being flexible. We're learning to be much more flexible than we probably ever have.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there with this segment. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property management trends we should let die in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a journalist who covers the multifamily industry, Jessica Feuer, the editor-in-chief of Multihousing News, and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Barry Tomlin, the vice president of Breeden Property Management. So we've talked about a lot of trends that we think should change this year, and or as soon as people are comfortable with them, I guess. But one of the things that we need to talk a little bit more about, I believe, is more employee changes. And Jessica, what's the focus on mental health that's important today?
So I think another, I guess, benefit of the pandemic is really people are focusing on mental health now and realizing what an importance it is for employees. One thing, and I don't think it's just property management, I think it's, you know, all industries, it's maybe an American thing, but people don't take their sick days. Hopefully no one's coming in with COVID. Don't do that, gross. But, you know, if you had a cold, you would come in because you didn't want to waste your sick days, and, you know, you think the company's going to fall apart without you. When I went on maternity leave and came back, I was very sad that the company didn't, in fact, fall apart without me. But, you know, people will get by, and it's important to look out for yourself. And I think as an industry as a whole, we have to be more aware of that. We have to encourage our employees to, if they're sick, or even if they're not sick, if they've, you know, had a billion really stressful days, I mean, who hasn't, and they just need a day to sit and watch the Food Network, fine, you know, they need to take it and they need to take care of themselves, and I think that's really important now.
Barry, you know, mental health of employees is not something that's new, but it's been exacerbated obviously by the pandemic and, you know, the personal dedication that a lot of employees had to work through all of that. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and what your thoughts are on how to help employees with mental health issues.
Sure. And we totally, you know, want to have any of our employees that are not feeling well, whether it's, you know, an emotional day that they're having, to Jessica's point, if you just get up and you just, you have had too much and you need to take a break and just have your thoughts to yourself, we certainly encourage that. Because if you come into work and you're not feeling good, whether it's, you know, physically or mentally, emotionally, you're no good to yourself or to anyone else. So we provide our employees with you know, sick days that they can take throughout the year, paid sick days, of course, vacation time and so on. But I think in the past 2 years, we have certainly seen all of us, myself included, you know, prior to COVID, you may be sick for a day or two. And, you know, initially in COVID, you were out for, you know, 14, 20 days of work. And the company still ran. We were able to do that. But we position ourselves so that we always have people in line to be ready to take over at a moment's notice. None of us know what's going to happen day to day. But we do not want people to get burned out and, you know, just, I don't want to say like nurses and doctors, but similar to nurses and doctors in our industry, we never stopped. You know, we had, you know, thousands of residents depending on us to, you know, if there was an emergency or if they had a problem in their home or, you know, they needed to move, that we needed to be there in some fashion, whether it was, you know, directly through, you know, 6 foot distancing or virtually, we had to be available. And, you know, our people did get burnt out, I believe. All of us did. But, you know, we cherish the folks that we have, and we want them to be with us for a long time. And if they're not feeling like they can, you know, they need a break, we want them to take a break. And we encourage that.
And I think that brings up another point, too, is that the residents just, there's this feeling in multifamily that, especially on the property management side, you have to be available to residents 24/7. I think we mentioned before, it's their home. You know, it's a job for us, but, you know, it's their home. But I don't think that necessarily is true, and I think that's something also that needs to change and should change, is that property managers are available 24/7 to residents. Like, if there's an emergency, I remember once when I was renting and my daughter was a baby and changing her diaper, and like there was like a little bubble near the light switch, and I stupidly pressed it because I was probably sleep deprived, and who doesn't press a bubble when you see it? And it exploded, and like water came down, and right by the light switch, right by the baby changer, someone above us, I think their sink overflowed or something. That was an emergency. I thought, like, you know, we were going to catch on fire or something. You know, the time the dishwasher doesn't work at once, you know, at 10 and at night, does the property manager need to respond to that right away? You know, I think property managers and leasing agents and everyone need to pull back and make some limits for themselves and, you know, serve the residents and make sure you're doing them right and giving them the best service, but also prioritizing yourself and making sure that, you know, you're able to turn off at night and you're able to just have some time and maintain a work-life balance.
Barry, what do you think?
Just, if I can just jump in real quick, Paul, I think one of the things that we learned early on with the pandemic is, you know, as a company, we just have a lot of the other most of the other companies here in our market, we would only take emergency work orders, as Jessica was just describing. If it's water, obviously fire, you know, something that just can't wait. And I think we've done a very good job of educating our residents, and this was an opportunity to do that, which we never had before, into letting them know what really constitutes an emergency. You know, if your dishwasher isn't working at 10 o'clock at night, can it wait till tomorrow morning? And we've had a very good success with kind of tampering down the last-minute calls in the evening to property managers or to maintenance supervisors to come out because, you know, my light bulb was out in the bedroom. And that has certainly helped. And I think that I'm hoping that has changed the mentality of our resident base, that will continue. And we'll start to see not so many calls for things that are not dire, if you will, going forward, even when we get out of this pandemic situation.
Yeah, Barry, I'm just curious. Jessica mentioned previously the Great Resignation, and you know, I've heard different or seen different research and studies by different organizations about which positions are the ones that are the most that companies need in multifamily, and it seems like it's the maintenance tech. Are you experiencing the same thing in your markets?
Yes, we are. We certainly are, and it's become, you know, really a bidding war, so to speak, on who's offering the most pay and the most incentive to get somebody to come on. We've been pretty fortunate. We have, as a company, we've had open positions, but we've been able to fill them. Again, this market is very strong, and you know, we have people that are really willing to work. But we've had some vacancies, and so have our competitors. And it's been all on the maintenance side. I don't think we've had one person leave on the leasing side, you know, and not be able to fill pretty quickly.
Yeah.
The maintenance side has been a different animal.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to transition us from this topic and let our listeners learn a little bit more about each of you. We've got about 4 minutes left. So, Jessica, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on at Multi Housing News. And if someone wanted to reach you, how could they do it?
Oh, thank you. So I'm the editor-in-chief of Multi Housing News and our sister site, Commercial Property Executive. If you haven't checked out either of our sites, we recently did a redesign on both sites. They're beautiful now, so definitely check them out. Let me know what you think. Good things only, or bad things, but you know, I know it'll only be good things. Also, something exciting for Multi Housing News, we're going to be soon opening our submissions for our 2022 Excellence Awards, so keep an eye out for that. And CPE, we're really diving deep into different cities, both our, you know, from this unbiased opinion, both our excellent sites, really great information. And we have tons of newsletters, so, you know, please sign up. If you have any suggestions for articles or we're always looking for bylines, you can reach me at jessica.fuhr@cpe-mhn.com.
And I can tell you and testify to the fact that I get the daily email every day and as well as the other things that Multi Housing News does. It's a fantastic resource, lets you know what's going on around the country. So,
thanks so much.
Yeah. And by the way, both of your companies logos will be on the episode page of our website at multifamilyradio.com, and if someone clicks on those, it'll take them directly to your websites.
Awesome. Click multiple times.
But yeah, Barry, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we've got about 2 minutes left as far as what's going on at Breeden and how people can reach you.
Sure. Well, first of all, Paul and Jessica, both, thank you all for including me and the Breeden Company in this conversation. It's been great, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. The Breeden Company has been in business for 60 years, and Breeden experienced its 60th anniversary in 2021. Started the company from ground up. We are a market rate builder, developer, management company. We currently have just over 10,000 units under ownership and management in-house. We've got another 4,000 that our construction company is in some phase of development or construction. Our construction company also does business for third-party developers. We've got another 2,000 under development and construction for third-party managers. As a company, we have pretty much owned and managed all of our properties here under ownership of Mr. Breeden. We are expanding our third-party management division, and we'll be taking applications for managing properties not only here in Virginia but across the nation. So if anyone's interested in need of a third-party management company, please contact us. The best way to do that would be at thebreedencompany.com, and that's T-H-E, Breeden, B-R-E-E-D-E-N, excuse me, company.com. And someone will certainly get back to you.
And Barry, are you Breeden Company is headquartered in Virginia Beach?
We are. We actually have two corporate headquarters, one in Virginia Beach and one in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, great.
But our main corporation headquarters where Mr. Breeden sits is in Virginia Beach.
Fantastic. Well, it's a very well-respected company, and it's great to have the experience, the vast experience that the company has regarding everything from, you know, building to managing to third-party management. It's that's certainly a great qualification for anybody looking for a third-party manager to look for. So anyway, I want to thank you guys again. It's been a great show. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.